Hi, it's me, OJ Pipito, and you're listening to the Philippine True Crime Stories. Before my adolescent years, I really tried to get rid of true crime shows and TVs. But now, I'm diving in it. I realize that I am living in a reality that one should understand, be educated, and set these stories as an example and warning to us, especially to my fellow millennials. Hi, welcome to my second episode on this podcast, talking about true crime stories and incidents that happen to be in the press. I haven't posted weeks after my first episode because I was really busy on my online school and dealing with so many adjustments. One thing in addition is that I couldn't look for another topic to be discussed for my second episode. I know that there are many topics waiting to be talked in this podcast, but I have this gut feeling that I'm waiting for something. Until today, Saturday, November 14, 2020, I scrolled over my recommendations on YouTube and found this video posted by ABS-CBN 5 years ago talking about the throwback on the 1996 TV Patrol report on the ozone fire incident. Out of my curiosity, because I was today years old when I knew that this incident happened, so I looked into the comment section, and the first comment I read was from JC Baldivino. She said that she can't believe that one of the survivors, whose 65% of his body was scarred, have been married to her 18 years now. She added that they are happily married with 2 children in the US. Her husband was Chris Arroyo. I guess he is one of the 3 survivors in the said incident that happened around 11:35 p.m. on March 18, 1996. The cause of the fire was unknown, but it was believed to be electrical fire. It was officially acknowledged as the worst fire incident in the Philippines history, and one of the 10 worst nightclub fires in the world. The counts of deaths were 162 and non-fatal injuries of 95. At the time, there were 350 customers and 40 club employees inside the Ozone Disco. It had been approved for the occupancy of 35 customers only, so the club were really full at the time that it served past its limit for the occupancy. That time was the celebration of the end of the school year, mostly high school students and college students attending graduation. It was mentioned in the comment that at that time they lowered the entrance fee of 50 pesos, so no doubt that there were many people in the club that were there at the time to celebrate. You know, as a youth, you really enjoy the time together with your friends because that's how teenagers bond. To be honest, if I were in the time, siguro pupunta rin ako kasi 50 pesos and there were many people, especially when you're with your friends. I mean, I'm thinking that if I didn't know that there is an incident that would happen. Anyways, another survivor added that after 15 seconds of smoke, they thought it was just a prop. So after that 15 seconds, the electrical system shut down. There was a blackout on the club. No one can see something, but only a fire that became visible and scattered really quickly because the interior of the club were made of acoustic materials. Okay, sa time na to, nagpanik na talaga ang mga biktima. Kaya pumunta sila lahat sa exit. Hinarang sila ng guard at sinabing, "Don't panic." But all of them were out of control. One thing in mind is to go outside. How can you not panic in this time, like in this kind of event? So, the door on the Ozone Club only works by pulling it if you're inside the club. Of course, kapag ang tao nagpapanik, initially, in your mind is itutulak mo talagang pinto, lalo na na ang pinto sa ozone ay glass. Makikita mo yung labas, kaya initially you push the door papalabas kasi that's your initiative. One of the survivors said if he didn't push the security guard, it would be impossible for him to go out. At hindi na nila ma-pull ang pinto kasi sumikip na ang hallway at na-stampede sila lahat. Syempre, the people would thought na na-trap sila kasi the door won't open. Little did they know or they forgot because of the panic attack. Many of the bodies were discovered along the corridor to the only exit. Dead bodies piled to waist high. Well, there was a door believed to be the fire exit, but there were no indications or signage of fire exit. This so-called fire exit leads to another establishment called City of Friends. But no one but the employees were only informed that it was a fire exit. Fast forward, 13 years after that incident, justice was prevailed. The owners of the disco and the building officials of Quezon City were guilty. Now, the area of the old Ozone Disco Club were demolished and was turned into a restaurant named Guda, owned by Boy Abunda. In this millennial age, a talented unique Salonga wrote a song about the tragedy. He entitled it, Ozone, Itulak ang Binto. No music video in purpose so that listeners could imagine how devastating that incident was. It was a beautiful song in line with Spoliarium, the two of my favorites in the OPM. What lesson have I learned in this podcast? The lesson I learned is that this is for my fellow millennials and for upcoming ones. Also for the parents who have teenagers, that it is okay to enjoy your youth, but keep in mind for your safety and know your limitations, especially in these trying times. COVID is still out. If it's not necessary to go outside, please don't go outside. Cinemas are there, malls are there, Dagalas, Dalaag, La Quacha, Bakasyon. All of them can wait. Let this be the time for the world to heal, in line with healing of ourselves, realizations that made us more better of ourselves. Now I know why some of our parents react negatively when we go outside with our friends, because maybe the ozone incident gave them the trauma that it might happen to their teenage son or daughter. Until the next episode of the Philippine True Crime Stories, hosted by yours truly, OG Pipitong.